the basis of the blood. On the basis of the blood, I'm more than a conqueror. I'm a son of
Jesus. Well, praise God, we're glad you joined with us once again on this podcast, and we believe that God's going to speak to you through the Word of God today. You're never going to be the same. Amen. It's be a song we used to sing, you'll never be the same again. Oh, no, oh, no. And that's true, isn't it? Once we make that encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ, we are absolutely, totally changed forever. Amen. I'm excited about this podcast. I'm excited about these next few podcasts because of things we're going to share. Some of my favorite types of messages is these that we're preaching. It seems to be the strong point in our life because we've endeavored from the time we received the Lord and not even knowing what we were doing to learn how to walk in the Spirit and know the power that comes along with being born from above and born a new birth and what it means to, you know, have Jesus as the Lord of your life. You know, Jesus, before he ever left the earth, in John 14, said, I'm going to heaven to send you another comforter. The word there in the Greek is, I'm probably not going to pronounce this right for some of you Greek scholars, but it's Elos Parakletos. This means another one exactly like me, and he's going to come alongside of you to help you. Well, that's the whole idea, is the Spirit of God has come alongside of us to help us, to bring us to a place where we can begin to, walk like Jesus and talk like Jesus and act like Jesus. It's just, we are sealed with the Spirit of God. That is, there's a stamp upon our life, if you want to say it that way, that and an image that God is predestined for us to be conformed to. We're predestined, the Scripture says, to be conformed to the image of His Son. And so, thank God that the Spirit of God is working in us both to will and to do His good pleasure. And I'm glad about all of that. Amen. And as I was saying on the last broadcast, we're born of God. We're born of the Spirit. We're not born of the flesh. And because we're born of the Spirit, that is, there's now being created inside of us an image of the Lord. Or we're being created on the inside in the image of the Lord. That'd be a better way to say it, I suppose. Because it's just how it is. I know that so because the Word of God said this, that when we shall see Him, when we see Him, we shall see Him as He is, for we be like Him. So there's some striking image between us. I don't know how to explain. I don't know how to explain what I'm saying there. Hallelujah. Excuse me, I hit the wrong button. May have a little lapse in this for a moment, but we're back up running. Amen. Sometimes I punch all the wrong buttons. I've got my mind on something else. But anyway, we're predestined to be conformed to His image. We'll be like Him. God wants us operating in this earth. A Christian means to be Christ-like. Well, you can't be Christ-like. He's not a Baptist Jesus. He's not a Pentecostal Jesus. He's not a Catholic or Episcopalian or Lutheran or any other name that we have in the earth, Jesus. I mean, he's there in those places, but he's that and much more. He's the Bible Jesus, praise God. And so new birth then, we've talked about that the last thing brought us into that place where we can now not only see the kingdom of God or see spiritual things, but we can also begin to walk in them. Now, I'm going to take you to Galatians chapter 5 today because I want to read something there. I believe it'll be kind of help us. Paul is talking to the church at Galatia, and he's talking to them about the works of the flesh, and he's really contrasting the works of the flesh and the works of the Spirit. And actually, we call these the fruit of the Spirit. Many times I've heard people say, it's not important. You know, for you to have the gifts of the Spirit, it's more important to have the fruit of the Spirit. No, it's important for you to have both. The gifts of the Spirit of God are things given to help you and I and to be a blessing to other people, but they are to be totally inundated with character. And that's when we say the fruit of the Spirit, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about certain things given to make us, the Spirit of God will bear fruit in us as we mature and grow in God. And so, Paul is talking about that very thing when he says here, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh, Galatians 5:16. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the law, and he begins to name the works of the law, and then he drops it down, pick it up at verse 22. I'm not going through that side because I may want to do that again later. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lust. And if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Some of the most powerful scriptures in the Bible, as far as I'm concerned, are these scriptures right here. Now, let me pose this question. When he says in verse 16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Is that possible? Not only does he say it there, but in verse 25, he says, live in the Spirit. So there's two things that we've got to look at right here. There's life in the Spirit, and there's living, there's walking in the Spirit, or we could say it another way. We could say walking after the Spirit of God. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, Romans 8 says, they're the sons of God. And so we're led of the Spirit, and if we're led of the Spirit, we're not under the law. But Paul comes right along and says there's a conflict that takes place. Actually, if you read back over in chapter 5, you'll see that Paul took Hagar and Sarah and contrasted them as two types of religion, one for the flesh and one for the spirit. And really, that's what it is. And the thing about it is the spirit man will, and the fleshly man will war against the spirit man. You don't like it because it's carnal things. And then if you and I begin to walk out the Spirit, we'll suffer that from another angle. There'll be people sometimes that are carnal. The devil motivates them, no doubt about that. But be that as it may, motivate them or not, they're still yielded over to that. And it's kind of a sad scenario because I've seen where the Spirit of God begin to move, and then people stop the move of God because they fight it. And sometimes preachers and pastors will give in to that particular thing. And you can't do that. That's not going to work for you. Now keep in mind, I'm a traveling preacher, and I'm a prophetic gift to the body of Christ, and I don't always see things exactly the same way that other ministers see it, especially pastors. They have a different gracing, a different motive, and it's not good. It's not bad. It's good. It's the way it should be. But at the same time, the foundation is built upon the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. And so there's certain things that are relative to the prophetic and apostolic ministries. And so I don't know what I got off on that for, because I'm talking about walking in the Spirit. Well, you know, the thing about a prophetic gift is a walk of the Spirit. I don't have to live with all of the people that pastors have to live with. So sometimes I can preach and say some things and they'll help. If you'll do it, you need to. The point is this. There is never going to be anything in the flesh that's going to ever bring any glory to God. Never. You understand what I'm saying to you? Never. When we work and operate by the flesh, we're going to bring no glory to God. The only thing that I would know of in the flesh to bring glory to God is if you had some kind of terminal disease and God healed you, then that in itself would bring glory to God. But still, it's a much higher law that's in operation that made that happen. That is, there's a spiritual law that made that kind of a thing take place in the body, in your physical body. So the scripture says, walk in the Spirit. Well, my question is, can you? If it says do it, can you? Do you have a right to say, I can't do it, when the scripture says do it? It doesn't seem to me like this is a suggestion. Seems to me like what Paul is saying, this I say then, I walk in the Spirit. What I'm saying to you right now is get over in here and start walking in the Spirit, or we'll clarify a little bit later. I believe it would be safe to say he means walk after the Spirit. What's that mean? It means there are spiritual laws put into operation by the Word of God and by the Spirit of God, and that's where we need to get over there to be. Now, remember, we said there are certain things that are born of the flesh. One of the things that Paul was dealing with in the book of Galatians is back here in chapter 3. He was saying to the Galatian people had to... some of the Jewish believers who had not yet been free from, the bondage of the law, they were born again, but they were still operating under those kinds of things, down trying to tell the Gentiles how to operate. Well, Paul was called to be an apostle of the Gentiles, and, basically they were told just not to offer anything to idols, and not to eat anything that has blood in it. And that was the only thing that they, and give to the poor, that was the only things that the early church and the church of Jerusalem required of them. But Paul is talking because someone's trying to convert them back to Judaism. And Paul says, "Oh, foolish Galatians, heaven, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you. This only would I learn of you, receive you the Spirit by the works of the law, by the hearing of faith. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law, by the hearing of faith?" Now remember, we talked in the last broadcast how that Nicodemus wanted to find out how Jesus did the miracles. Well, Paul is more or less is explaining that right here in these verses. But let's zero in on this verse in light of what we've said to you so far. Are you, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Or walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. What they were trying to do was do religious things, obey laws. When you read this scripture, you'll find out that they were observers of days, and Colossians is the same way, and certain things, and they, and certain laws. But Paul is really saying the law was a schoolmaster to bring you unto Christ, that you might be justified by faith. Faith is a spiritual law. Faith is a fact. Faith is an act. Faith is a spiritual law. If we operate it, it will work. It has to work because it's a spiritual law. Spiritual law are greater than natural law. The natural law of your body says you're going to die. But the spiritual law said, "I'm alive in Christ, and by his stripes I am healed." And so we operate in that realm. We don't try to operate someplace. You don't try to operate in the natural realm. So, well, you know, I feel better, so therefore I'm healed. No. And it was much more going on in that, in this particular chapter, because they were really asked the question, are you foolish? Or we could say, why are you being so foolish? You know that you can't do this. You can't make spiritual things perfect by operating by the natural. You can't do it. It has to be wrought by the Spirit. There's an Old Testament scripture that says, "Not by power, not by might, but by my Spirit," says the Lord of hosts. Hosea 4:6, I believe his word's found. And so Paul is saying then, though, this I'm going to learn of you. Receive you the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? In other words, when Paul preached to the little group at Ephesus, he was preaching to them, and he said they weren't saying much. Probably weren't shouting or praising God or doing anything. He said, "How are you people baptized? Or have you heard about the Holy Ghost, rather?" "Well, no." "How were you baptized?" Well, that'll tell you something right there about baptism. It's the name of the Father and the Son, the Holy Ghost, because if they would have known about the Holy Ghost, and they said they didn't. And so he's preaching to them, talking to them about the Holy Ghost, laid his hands up on them, the Bible said in Acts 19, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues. And so they were filled with the Spirit of God, powerful, powerful outpouring of the Spirit of God, but they didn't get their actual reception of the Holy Ghost was not until they, by faith, received what Paul was saying. When they received that, then the law of faith went into operation and appropriated what it was that Paul was preaching about. See, the thing about it is faith is created for any given subject in your life that you need answers for. You just create it by finding what the Word of God has to say about that matter, and then put it in your mouth and talk it, and talk it, and talk it, and talk it. And if it fails, you still keep talking it, and you keep talking it, and you keep talking it. Because I'm going to tell you something I've learned from experience. The more you stay after it, the more eventually you're going to override all of that. I mean, you're not going to override it. What you're going to do is you're going to come to a place of understanding about it. Now, I know you, many of you may have heard a lot of preaching teaching about us confessing the Word of God. And I believe that to be a powerful truth, but I believe we need to understand this. That faith becomes energized by the acknowledgement of every good thing that's in you in Christ. A good Philemon verse 6. I said that just a little different than the King James said it. But it's the truth. Your faith becomes activated by you acknowledging what the Word of God says about you. The Word says certain things about you have a right. So that's what's being basically said. It's a law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, making us free from the law of sin and death. We can walk in the Spirit. We will never fulfill the works of the Spirit by working it out in flesh. And then he said, "He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law, by the hearing of faith?" He repeats that again. So he's talking about us being able to cause certain things to happen, or minister to other people would be a better way to say it. The Spirit, isn't that an interesting phrase? I mean, to think about the fact that we can have the power to minister the Holy Ghost. What a deal. What a deal. Hallelujah. And let's walk in the Spirit. And then the Scripture says we'll not fulfill the lust of flesh. And then we can live in the Spirit. Let us also walk in the Spirit. Well, it almost seems to say, or puts those two together, we've got to find out how we live then after spiritual law. Brother, it is not easy. I've had people say to me, well, you one of them faith people, and you just believe everything's going to flow easy. No, I'm one of them faith people, and I've found the reality and the truth of that matter. And that is the devil and your flesh and other flesh, people's flesh, are going to fight you every inch of the way. That's why I said what I said. When you walk in the Spirit, you're going to have the character to walk in the Spirit. And that's what he's talking about in verses 22, 23, 24. They're the character sides of Christ. They're as much a part of Christ's gifting to the body of Christ as the gifts of the Spirit. And we don't need to emphasize one above the other. We need to put them together. They're very vital to put those two together, because once you know that, then you enter into a state of being effective in ministry, because you've got character. Back many years back during the healing revival, we had some of the most powerful preachers on the earth that had some of the greatest miracles that we've ever seen in the United States of America, maybe even around the world. Was in the top few, put it that way. And many of them were lacking in character. I'm thinking of a couple. One had a doctrinal issue. He had a problem with the Trinity. He didn't believe there was such a thing, and he also had a problem with obeying the Lord. He wanted to operate in one ministry. When he was called to another, he wanted to teach when he ought to have been preaching. He died early. Another one didn't judge himself where money's concerned, didn't judge himself toward the brethren. He didn't love the brethren. He started a church and tried to steal church members from that particular other particular pastors in the same area where he preached meetings, which was unethical to say the least. And because he did that, he died early. And I mean very early. And he had one of the most powerful healing ministries there was. Another one had an alcohol problem. And I know there's some people who probably know who I'm talking about and have, will contend with you about it. Well, don't bother to contend with me, because we got the toxicology report, a copy of the toxicology report, so we know that it's a truth. Maybe some people live around him at that time didn't realize it, and maybe the man wasn't suffering, but he was an alcoholic. And he died with alcohol and massive amounts of alcohol in his system, and he put it there himself. But he still had a powerful ministry. We're not touching the anointing, but he was a person who was less than the character of Christ. Well, things like that then make people outside of the Pentecostal ranks persecute some of us who are in the Pentecostal ranks, and grant you that they're within their right to do it, because people live one way and do another. You know, the thing that you need to find out about is that the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. That means a person can operate in and flow in certain giftings and still be goofed up and end up dead, and sometimes prematurely. And all these people died earlier than what they should have. Very few of them ever made, the ones I was just talking about. Very few of them ever lived to be old because, they didn't have character. A lot of other issues involved with it. And I'm not their judge. I'm not saying this in a judgmental spirit. I'm saying that you and I, if we're going to walk in the Spirit, just walk in the power of the Spirit, just walk in the character of the Spirit. And if we'll do that, then we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You know, that flesh lusts against the Spirit. It says it right here. There's another portion of Scripture that needs to be looked at. That's right in this context of what we're talking about. Romans 8, and he talks about it there when he says it this way. Beginning of verse 1, there's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit and life, Christ of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, that verse right there kind of explains some things. See, the Bible said we are righteous. Our flesh says we're not. Our flesh tells us we sinned, and God don't love us anymore, and all other kinds of stuff like that. Many of you know exactly what I'm talking about. But the righteousness of the law is fulfilled in Christ and fulfilled in us, because he was made, according to First Corinthians 1, verse 30, Jesus was made unto us righteousness. And so we don't have no righteousness of our own. What we do have would be as filthy rags, the scripture says. But the righteousness that we're talking about is that which is imparted to us as we walk not after the flesh, but after spiritual things. We don't walk after that law of the flesh that says you can't and you're terrible and you're shameful and I reject you and God hates you and 10,000 other things. We walk after what the Word of God said, the spiritual law, the Word of God. We walk after that. And then he says, if we walk after the flesh, do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So that kind of clarifies to you what's being said. Walk not out of the flesh, after the Spirit, because if you walk out the flesh, you mind the things of the flesh. You know, Paul was talking about this in a different way when he said a man stays single and lives a celibate life, he will mind the things of the Lord, to give you an illustration. And a man gets married, he's more concerned about his wife, rightly so. I mean, you got to take care of your family. You take a person on to leave, you become responsible for him. I mean, to marry, rather. You become responsible for that person. When my wife and I married, I was a spiritual head of my home. I still am. And I'm responsible for her in many ways. I can't be totally responsible, but there's many things I'm responsible for. But they're after the flesh, do mind the things of the flesh, but they are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life. Because the carnal mind is an enmity against God or hates God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are the flesh cannot please God. Then so you see what I'm saying? Paul is saying you walk after the Spirit, don't walk after the flesh. You can't please God if you're walking after the flesh. Why? Because there's no faith in it. Yes, I'm going to take care of my own thing. I'm going to do my own thing. I'm going to walk according to what I want to do, and I'm not going to do God's things. And therefore, because of that, I'm going to suffer. I'm walking in the realm of death, because you can't live spiritually and have spiritual life and do that. You cannot. You're going to drive it right out of you because you're mindful of that. It's the law of death working in you. It's working against you. And furthermore, you won't like what I'm going to tell you next, but when you operate by your carnal mind and not by your spirit, you hate God. Because the Word says, love not the world, neither the things in the world. They that love the world don't have the love of the Father in them. And so our love for the Father would be a good way to say it. That's what Paul is saying. So if you're after the flesh, you cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. What do you mean? Well, let's go back to what we started on the one broadcast. You've got to be born above, born from above. When you are, you're born of the Spirit with life from above into the family of God. That's what you're born of it. You're born and into it. You didn't just get moved over there in a way, yes, but you were born. That is, what took place on the inside of you was something from the heavenly realm. And it created and birthed something in you by the heavenly realm. And so it's powerful to think about this type of these things that operate. So we're in the flesh, the Spirit, so that we're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, so be the Spirit of God dwelling in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. So what happened to you is that you got him righteousness imparted to you, and you when you receive Christ, and now you're alive. That righteousness makes you alive, because you know no man can stand in his presence without being righteous. Hallelujah. So it's vital that you understand what took place. Now I don't know, we're not going to have enough time to deal with this properly on this broadcast, but we may talk something on the next podcast about how to get into that realm, something very important. A little play on words, but it still be a help to you, because I want to give some time to talk to you about it. I got a few more minutes here. I want to do it. But I want to talk about how to get there. How to operate there would be a better way to say it, not to get there, because we're finding out how to get there. So the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus made me free from the law of sin and death. That is, there's a law on the inside of me now that's greater than anything. The scripture, see, John come along and wrote, said, greater is he that's within you than he that's within the world. Well, he's talking about a person. He's talking about the person of the Spirit of God and in Christ, because Christ said himself in John 14, when I come, I mean, when he, the Spirit of truth comes, Me and my Father will come with him. So all that God is came with that. So that law of the Spirit of life now, it lives on the inside of us. He dwells in us. We're righteous because of him. Hallelujah. And because of that, then we have the Spirit of life, and it's making us free from the law of sin and death. I'm going to say something to you. You've got to endeavor and give every ounce of strength you have to walk after the Spirit. Does that mean you're not going to fail? No, I don't mean that at all. It just means if and when you do, and it's more like when you do, then get up and say, Lord, I'm sorry. Dust yourself off and pick it up and start right all over. Start right where you left off. You know, you want blessing from God, stop. You stop moving in a certain direction, then blessings won't come. Go back to where the blessings were flowing. Get back into that and flow with that. I heard the Lord say to me years ago, he said, I was fasting and praying and seeking God for power and, you know, whatever else I was doing. I don't remember. That's been 40 years. But I was seeking God for more of his power. I didn't know the word like I know today. But nevertheless, the Lord said something to me. He said, what you do to get it, you got to keep doing to maintain it. And that's absolutely the truth. And hallelujah. Get over in here and get in the Spirit. Get out of the flesh, operating after the flesh. Quit operating in that realm where it's, taking you into death. Because God gave you a law. It's a law, the law of the Spirit of life. If you put the law of that Spirit into motion, life will flow in you. And it'll bring freedom to you. I'd like to stay in here a while and preach on some of these verses. I'm not going to be able to do that, but at this broadcast anyway, may come back and pick that up here a little bit later on. But in any event, it's come and gone quickly today, and I need more time to deal with this. I know this has been a help to you. It's been a help to me to say it to you, because I'm saying some things that I've just not been mindful of myself, and it's good to know that. Amen? So get out. Don't let your mind rule you. The Bible said, be not conformed to this world, but you're transformed by the renewing of your mind. The transformation takes place as your mind begins to get conformed to the Word of God, and then it becomes in cooperation with the new life that's on the inside of you. Well, that's a whole new ball game, but hallelujah, we're going to go there if we stay after these podcasts. Thank you for tuning in. I'm so glad you did. God, help us today. Help our neighbor to understand what's being said in the Word of God. Let it be plain to them. Let them begin to rise up and walk in it in Jesus' name, and we'll give you all the honor and the glory for the results in Jesus' name. Bless you, my neighbor friend. Get up and visit us on the podcast. Let us know, on the website. Let us know if you listen to these podcasts. If they're being a blessing to you, we'd appreciate to hear from you. Until we see you the next time, this is Brother Hugh saying, God is exalted, Satan is defeated in Jesus Christ. Jesus,
by one Jesus Christ. Reigning through life on the basis of the blood.